Here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another passage of Scripture in the book of Romans. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We want to preach this morning on the text, Whatever Happened to Sin? Whatever happened to sin? I believe we need to draw a line in a no-fault, guilt-free world. You know, nothing is sin anymore. Nothing is sin anymore. Self-esteem, positive feelings, personal dignity, are what our society encourages people to seek after. Don't take the blame for your personal failures. Don't take blame for your sins. Blame somebody else. And this is what society is teaching today. And these are the teachings that our children are getting today. And I believe that Christians today are growing less concerned about sin. I believe that's where we're at in our churches today. Not concerned about sin. Nothing sin. Had a girl walk in church the other day and had a skirt on all the way up to here. What an abomination. That's sin. Now, how do we deal with our sin? How do we deal with our own sin? We're coming up with new words for sin every day. Well, it's just their temperament. Well, they're just addicted. Or they come from a dysfunctional home. It's just a problem that they've got to work through. How many times have we heard that? You move the reality of sin and you take away the possibility of repentance. You abolish the doctrine of human depravity. And you void the divine plan of salvation. You erase the notion of personal guilt. And you eliminate the need for a Savior. And I believe we need to be awakened today. We need to be brought to the place of the awful reality of sin. sin is real. And we're becoming more like the world every day. And I believe today that the line must be drawn. The message is still the same for our sin-sick society today. We still need messages today about sin, salvation, repentance, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like for you to turn with us over here to first or 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous, difficult, hazardous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. Look at verse 13. For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceivers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, what the Lord predicted about sin and these things that we've just read today is in our society today. But I believe that there's still hope, even in the midst of a wicked, perverse generation. And I believe as Christians today, our duty with regard to sin is not to try to clean up all society's ills, but to apply ourselves diligently to the work of our own sanctification. And I believe the sin that we need to be most concerned about is the sin in our own lives. Don't try to avoid it this morning. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. We need to realize that. And that it's in our own life. And we need to be concerned about ourselves. What are we going to do? What am I going to do about my sin? Tell you what, years ago I can remember people coming forward and repenting, and I mean true repentance. You've all been in services in years gone by when people would come and confess their sin and they would be broken up over their sin, wanting and willing to confess their sin before God. I'm guilty. I've got sin in my life. I've sinned against this church and I want this church to forgive me. I've sinned against my brothers and my sisters. I want them to forgive me. We don't hear that much today. And we need to commit ourselves to biblical thinking. that we see ourselves as God sees us. And that we deal honestly with our own sin. And I believe this is the only way that we're going to have an effect on this sin-sick society. They're tired of seeing the hypocrisy. I believe that we've had a I don't care attitude. Covering sin. There's too much worldly thinking. And may we reject the values, the worldly values that we're confronted with every day. In other words, you shouldn't let yourself feel bad when you do something dishonest, when you do something hurtful, when you do something selfish. Think of yourself as good. Don't admit that you might actually be guilty of sin. That's where we're at today. And that's what a lot of people today, even in our independent Baptist churches, are getting off their TV evangelist programs that they watch. And it's carried on right into our independent Baptist churches. No guilt, no sin. If no one is supposed to feel guilty, how could anyone be a sinner? What's the need of repentance? What's the need of contrition, atonement, restoration, repentance? That our modern culture has the answer. People are victims. People are victims. Victims are not responsible for what they do. They are casualties of what happens to them. Anyone can escape responsibility for his or her wrongdoings simply by claiming the status of a victim. Isn't that right? What are they doing? They're shifting the blame for their wrongdoings. They are excusing themselves for the evil things they do. In other words, don't admit that you're a sinner. I believe another thing that has happened to sin is we'll just call it some kind of disease. Now, I'm not talking about medical deficiencies. Our brains can get sick. Our nerves can get sick. And we need a doctor. We need medications. Drunkards. Drug addicts. Can check into clinics for treatment of their chemical deficiencies. not drunkards. They're not sinners. They have a sickness. But the thing they don't realize, it was a sin before it was a sickness.
Amen. That is right.
Gluttons today are suffering from eating disorders. Sex addiction, gambling addiction, and on we could go. So what we used to call sin is more easily diagnosed as a bunch of disabilities. So we have a lot of medical afflictions, not sin. Isn't that where we're at? I believe this needs to be preached. I believe more and more addictions are being discovered. New addictions are being identified. We're living in an addiction world. And the sad thing about all of this is the therapists are not solving disabilities or these medical afflictions. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. The Bible has always called it S-I-N. You are responsible for your sin. We don't want to take responsibility for our sin. You can recover from these disabilities, these medical afflictions. Repent. Repent. Turn to the Lord. It does not have to be a lifelong process. The multi-million dollar counseling industry is still making their billions every year. And we've all heard the word recovery. The code word for programs modeled after Alcoholic Anonymous. This is a long life process. I'm Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. Now all the addictions are using the same approach. I'm a sex addict. I'm a gambling addict. I'm a nicotine addict. I'm an anger addict. I'm a wife-beating addict. I am a child-molesting addict.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm a debt addict. I'm an envy addict. I'm a failure addict. I was wanting to leave this one out, but I can't. I'm an overeating addict. Amen. AAA didn't take care of my problem. I had a sin problem. And all of these addicts that we just mentioned this morning have a sin problem. It's sin. So they're recovering. Never recovered. And those who dare to think of themselves as delivered from their affliction are told that they are living in denial. Isn't that right? So we have an excuse or an illness excuse instead of just plain old sin problem. That's it.
That's right.
We can be delivered from our sin problems. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the answer. I was delivered 35 years ago. I was delivered. I was forgiven. And I was given grace every day that I live to abstain from the drink of alcohol or whatever problem, other problem that I might have had. And He's still the Savior today, and He is still recovering people every day with their sin problems. And I want you to assume here for a moment that the problem is sin rather than sickness. The only true remedy involves repentance.
Amen.
Contrition. The recognition that you deserve the chastening of God because you alone are responsible for your sin. In other words, if the problem is in fact spiritual, labeling a chemical issue will only make the problem worse. And will offer no real deliverance from the sin. I'm sick is much easier to say than I have sinned. I have a sin problem. I'm a sinner. And I need Jesus Christ in my life. Sinner friend, your sin is a serious offense against a holy and a righteous God. You must admit that personal guilt. You're guilty before Almighty God.
Amen.
He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
You don't have to commit one more sin. You're condemned right now, right where you're at, right where you sit.
Amen.
Listen, you cannot explain your sin away. It must be dealt with.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Trusting Jesus Christ is the only answer.
Amen.
Repentance toward God is the only answer.
Amen.
But people today want sin without guilt. You're responsible for your own behavior. You're responsible for your own sin. Let's look at the word guilt just for a moment. Pain tells us there is a physical problem that must be dealt with, or the body will suffer harm. Guilt is a spiritual pain in the soul that tells us something is evil and needs to be confronted and cleansed. I believe the Holy Spirit of God makes that known in the heart of every person that He saves by the grace of God. To have a healthy conscience, you must recognize your personal guilt. To have self-respect, you must be responsible for what you are. You can't fake it. You need an honest assessment of your own sin. People don't want to do that today. God's people, members of independent Baptist churches, don't want to do that today. They don't want to be reminded of their sin. There's no hope for you when you deny responsibility for your own behavior. Before you forgive yourself, you must repent toward the Lord. And that's the order, not the reverse. And the counseling that you hear today, even from pastors, is don't be so hard on yourself. You mustn't blame yourself. You need to pamper your inner self. Stop punishing yourself. Let go of your guilt. You're not such a bad person. I believe this kind of counseling can be spiritually destructive. You're a sinner. You need help. You need Jesus Christ in your life. And I believe this fails to address the real problem of our sinfulness. And when you refuse to acknowledge your own sinfulness, you actually place yourself in bondage to your own guilt. Look with me. Look with me to the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Let us look at verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Look at 1 John. 1 John. Turn over here with me. 1 John chapter 1. Let us look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. So in the year of 2005, the sinner is still the same. The answer to sin is still the same. Repentance toward God and toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People don't want to repent. You're guilty. You're a sinner. And the only hope for your guilt of being a sinner and doing sinful things is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. And may the Lord help us this morning to recognize the sinner that we are. And confess it right now before the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about a revival in our churches. If we would do that. God uses His Word to convict us. I wanted to preach another message. I couldn't. The Lord led me to preach this. And after a great message as Brother Dan preached, I thought, man, I hate to get up here and, you know, preach this, but this is what God wanted me to preach.
Amen.
And may the Lord help us, every one of us, to see the need of repentance. Repent. You know, that's the only way we're going to get close to the Lord. I realize that more and more. The older I get, I realize that more every day. One of these days, I'm going to be standing before the Lord. It may not be long. I'll be 65 in February. I'm one of those old preachers. It won't be long. And you know what? I want things to be right between me and my Lord Jesus Christ. When I was younger, I did a lot of talking. But boy, I realize it now. Brother Clark and I was talking about the second coming this morning. He said, brother, it's not very far off. I believe that. Not only for him, but for every one of us. And may God grant us the grace that we'll be confessed up. Lord bless you.
Amen.